Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are chatting with Brett Heath, president and CEO of Metalla Royalty and Streaming. Metalla is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA and on the NYSE also under the symbol MTA. Now, Brett, I wanted to bring you back on the show because you recently sent out a letter to shareholders. So anyone subscribed to receive the Metalla news from the company would have received this letter. But I wanted to highlight some of the points that you laid out in this letter because I liked what you covered in terms of some of the recent trading in the stock and also some of the catalysts coming up. We're going to start right at the very top of this letter where you break down the recent trading in Metalla shares and more specifically this recent pullback that the company has experienced really ever since the start of June. Now, you mentioned that in terms of a technical factor here, the RSI, the Relative Strength Index, dropped below 30. Now, this is considered an oversold level. And quite frankly, the stock's only been in this oversold area for three times. Break down this recent sell-off for us, please, Brett. Your takeaway from it and some of the technical factors you want to highlight, please.
Thanks, Corey. And thanks for highlighting that. What I was trying to do here is I was trying to let shareholders know, when I believe is a great entry point. I've done this, in the past as well. And, we've got a bit of a divergence here at the moment between what is happening in the share price and what's happening in the business. And from a technical perspective, the RSI was just one that I pointed out, but kind of across a number of other technical indicators that I did not cover, we're seeing some kind of deep oversold levels. I think it's a great time. And when you kind of look back since we started this company, coming up on 5 years now, there's only been two other opportunities in the last 5 years that we've seen these types of technical indicators reflect these types of buying opportunities. And one was in the market crash of last year in kind of March, April timeframe. And then the other one was about a year prior to that, which was kind of a big consolidation after we made a pretty major move after listing on the New York Stock Exchange. So, I believe it's a great time to take a position in Metalla, and I was just wanting to reflect that in the letter.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup for people that maybe haven't got positioned or that wanted to add to at least have another crack at the pinata there. So, but one of the things you just mentioned is, how good of a year you've had so far with the acquisitions. You've added six different royalties so far just in half the year. Maybe walk us through some of the highlights from those six acquisitions you made.
Yeah, that's a great point to highlight there. What we are really pounding the table on is that you've got a situation where, because of the macro side, we saw a short-term technical breakdown in gold. That kind of spilled over in the gold price, and that spilled over heavily. Into the gold equities. And so that, has put on a lot of, broad market selling. As you know, in the last year, we've been included in three ETFs. So as that is a great thing because it provides a lot of liquidity. And it also provides a lot of exposure to kind of the general markets. You also get a little bit of that downside as well when you get kind of the broad sell-off. So what we have here is we've got a situation where, retail shareholders or even some institutional shareholders might not completely understand what's going on. These stocks are, sometimes a bit volatile. And so, I believe it's important to kind of communicate the underlying business and really the value that we're creating. And so, since the beginning of this year, just this year, the last 6-7 months, we have completed six transactions through deploying a little over 26 million US, which, you know, we believe based on near-term catalysts within the next, call it 6 or 12 months, we believe that these 6 acquisitions in total will be able to generate, you know, upwards or even potentially over $100 million in accretive value. And what that means is that $100 million, based on the net asset value of each of these assets within the next, or as a total of all these assets within the next 6 to 12 months, will be worth $100 million more than what we spent. That is a huge amount of value to shareholders' pockets. Now, that doesn't always show up immediately in the share price. But what we've noticed, if you pull up a 5-year chart on our company, you know, you'll see the consistent stair step look of our chart. And the reason is because, you know, on each of these acquisitions that we make, we believe in the market over time has confirmed that they're highly accretive. And so this adds real value to shareholders' pockets. It adds very real value to the overall company.
All right, Brett, let's also talk about some of the upcoming catalysts. You really outline one here that is the Wasamac project run by Yamana. Yamana is continuing to move this project forward. Metalla holds a 1.5% NSR on the Wasamac project. Take us through the catalyst here. Give us a bit more of an understanding of what's happening at Wasamac, please.
So Wasamac was an asset that when we bought it, it was owned by a junior, and that, you know, that junior, to its credit, did just an incredible, this company, the prior owner of Wasamac was a company called Monarch Gold, and Jean-Marc did an excellent job teeing that project up to be able to sell it to Yamana. But what we have here is we've got an asset, 1.5% royalty on this project that now, you know, Yamana has not only acquired the company for the project, but they've gone in with their own technical people. They've revised the report according to their standards, and they've essentially green-lighted the development of it, which means they're going to be moving forward, finalizing the permitting. They're going to build it. They're going to spend just the initial CapEx, $416 million to build this asset. And as a shareholder in Metalla, you've got exposure now to a near-term producing project in Quebec operated by Yamana Gold, which is one of the larger, more established gold, publicly listed, globally diversified gold producers in the world. And we've got a project that, you know, we think, based on Yamana's guidance, I mean, they're kind of discussing an initial 10-year mine life with being able to expand that to 15 years through the exploration upside, and it's still open. So here, this is an asset that, you know, we're going to have, you know, 1 to 1.5%. There is a buyback for 0.5%, which Yamana holds for $7.5 million. But 1 to 1.5%, we will hold this thing, which is going to generate cash for our shareholders for the next, we think, probably upwards of 2 decades. So just a great, solid asset, solid jurisdiction, and a solid counterparty. And this is what we're trying to fill our portfolio with. At the same time, you know, this is an asset that we bought 2 years ago. We bought it as part of a bigger portfolio. We bought it when it was still owned by a junior instead of Yamana, when there was, you know, more uncertainty when that production would come. And that reflects, obviously, the price. So here's a situation where our shareholders, you know, based on these acquisitions that we've picked up, have now had a very significant revaluation of the project, given that, you know, when we bought it, it was owned by a junior gold company. Now it's basically de-risked, owned by a major that has gone out publicly and stated they're going to build it. So a great catalyst. And there's lots of these. You know, we did touch on a number of other catalysts. I don't think we've got time to go through all of them, but just a few of the significant ones that I think our shareholders will be able to see over the next 12 months or so is the maiden resource at Gosselin. This is going to be a big one. We expect that to come out in the second half of this year. We've got a 1.35% royalty on that. We're expecting a PEA from Santa Gertrudis in the second half of this year. We've got a 2% royalty on that. We're expecting that to probably come in north of 2 million ounces. You know, we acquired that royalty when it had about 700,000-800,000 ounces in resources. We're expecting a PEA on the Del Carmen project, which is one of Barrick Gold's larger development assets in South America. We also expect this to come in the second half of this year. You know, they've reflected kind of publicly guidance up to almost 3.5 million ounces of gold on Del Carmen, and we've got a 0.5% NSR on that project. We think that the sale of Tocantinzinho has potential to be completed. You know, Eldorado has been working on that process for some time. You know, Brazil, the COVID situation down there hasn't been straightforward, but, you know, we think that is potential within the next 12 months. The Central Gold feasibility study, again, this is another big project, huge land package, and has the potential to, we think, be a pretty significant step in organic growth that we'll be expecting on kind of that next update. We got a 1-2% royalty on that, and many more. I mean, I could continue on for quite some time. One is that we've got an asset which is part royalty on an asset called El Realito. This is part of the La India mine, which is operated by Agnico Eagle down in Mexico. And this is stated to start production, according to their mine plan, next year. So this will be our next producing asset. It'll be our sixth producing asset. We've got five currently. And, you know, we're expecting to have a number of other of these mines that are being advanced, and we're getting these great updates from our counterparties to continue to stack the growth pipeline here for the future. But it's an exciting pipeline. We're incredibly excited about what we've been able to build here and the growth, and really most importantly, the organic growth, the growth that our shareholders don't have to pay for. I mean, this is what is the most important part about the royalty companies, because you own an asset that's free carried. So this can really have a huge impact in the value of the company. And, you know, eventually if and we plan on obviously continuing to execute our strategy to do this, you know, eventually it reflects through in the share price. And so, you know, I believe it's just an incredible time. You know, I personally bought some stock not too long ago on this dip. And so I think, you know, we just wanted to let shareholders know that, you know, we're excited about it and the business is doing great.
Well, Brett, you highlight a couple of things there that I think may be nice just to quickly reiterate one more time, just as we wrap up. The idea that some people have of royalty companies is just to look at what's producing currently, and they negate all that organic growth you just discussed. And so some of the things that jump out to me just from what you just talked about, and really the royalty model, is you can get in early in some of these and have a junior company taken over by a senior producer, and all of that upside and all of that capital that they'll have to deploy and all of that experience they have to deploy is really free to the people that invested in the royalty earlier on, because you're getting all that upside in addition to the exploration growth and development growth. And then as these things move down the pipeline, how they move into production, bringing in even more revenue. A lot of people shortchange that part of it. So maybe just speak to, in a general sense, how the royalty model allows investors to get into some of those positions like what you're seeing now in your portfolio.
That's exactly correct. And that's really been the basis of our strategy since the very beginning, because when we looked back historically and we saw, okay, well, where is the most value being generated for shareholders through this process? And where are the biggest risks? And what we saw or what we found, and this was back before we started the company, when we were really taking a deep look at how we were going to design this business model and the strategy to be able to capitalize on a business that has, you know, truly the most amazing assets I've ever come across, which are these royalties. What we found was that if you bought them correctly, and what I mean by that is if the counterparty that owns the project doesn't have financial risk in advancing and bringing that project in production, then the majority of the value is being generated in that kind of 1 to 5 years leading up towards production. Because the big major mining companies, they have to replace these ounces. And so they buy these projects, but they're already producing lots of ounces. Maybe they've got 2, 3, 4, 5 other mines in production. You know, they're already operating a lot of assets. And so it's not until they really start to advance these projects in production that you see these huge increases in reserves, huge increases in resources. You see these huge increases in stated production. And a perfect example of this is the Wasamac project, right? When the junior looked through the project, you know, they were looking at somewhere between like 120, maybe 130,000 ounces of production annually. When the major designs the project around kind of what their needs are, all of a sudden that went from 120, 130,000 all the way up to 200,000 ounces a year potential in production, which Yamana stated for the first 4 years, you know, they're going to be doing 200,000 ounces a year. I think that they'll be able to sustain that for probably quite some time after. It's just they, you know, they don't need to necessarily outline that today. So you see these huge increases in value. And that's again, that's where we position our shareholders to reflect it. And, you know, we had to make a call, because obviously buying cash flow today is a great thing. Cash flow is always a great thing. That's the end goal, is buying stuff that's producing today. But on the flip side, when we looked at assets that were producing today, we actually saw, in most cases, there's obviously certain circumstances and certain kind of one-off situations that are great deals. But in most cases, generally, in the royalty business, you know, if your focus is buying cash flow today, you're doing one of two things. You're either going significantly higher up on the risk curve in regards to the operator or the jurisdiction, which are two things that we don't want to do for our shareholders. So we don't want to own a royalty in a very high risk jurisdiction that can be taken from us, that can be taxed, that could, you know, a number of things could happen to that asset. Or, you know, we don't want an undercapitalized junior or private company being the one to produce it, because when they run into trouble, if it's a single asset producer or single asset developer, their equity gets completely destroyed and you're all of a sudden the lender of last resort, which is also not a situation we want to put our shareholders in. And when you look at buying cash flow from a very high quality operator in a very high quality jurisdiction, the prices that are paid for those assets in the market today are at such premiums that cash flow is really a mirage. So even though you have that cash flow, you're buying these things for $10 and you may get back $8 without a significant increase in either the reserves or the resources, which may happen down the road, or a significant increase in the metal price. And so even though you're buying that cash flow, when you're paying those prices, you're actually hurting your shareholders in the short term. It's something that investors need to understand, because there's a lot of companies that, you know, especially some of the juniors that say they focus on cash flow. And it's just something that oftentimes we see that the numbers don't add up. But, you know, using the strategy that we've been able to execute since the very beginning without changing it one bit, you know, we're really starting to see, after 5 years now, we're really starting to see some of these assets come into play. And it's great. I mean, we're at just a great time in our company's history. You know, we're in a great position to continue, you know, acquiring more of these assets. So we have the track record that we've shown to the market and investors that we can acquire high quality royalties at accretive prices, that we'll be experiencing a huge amount of organic growth, which we believe over time has the biggest impact on the share price.
Okay, Brett, thank you for this kind of broad update here. I will also be posting a link to that shareholder letter that Brett set out so everyone can follow along and touch on a little bit more of the points that he was making there. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will follow up as more news hits the market, especially when, I guess, more deals are signed here. Brett, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the update today.
Thank you.